Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Our scripture today is found in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. The one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he'll give him a snake? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my
A friend of mine asked me the other day if we ever got bored as preachers when it came to the Advent and Easter seasons, because the stories are really sort of dictated for us. We kind of have the story of Jesus' birth, and we kind of lead toward that. And I said, I really don't. As a preacher, I enjoy getting to these stories because it's familiar time, and I don't try to do anything to really trick things out at Christmas time. I really kind of get back to the basics of what the Christmas season is about and what Advent is leading us to. And so as we talked about how we do that, I told him about how we're talking about my favorite things about Christmas, and these things aren't necessarily your favorite things, but they're things that I think are common to the season. As we talk about the food that we eat in the holiday season, some of the food that we eat, we don't eat any other time of the year. Thankfully, in some cases, we don't eat some of this food any other time of the year. But we talked about the food and how it helps us to taste and see the goodness of our Lord in our midst, and how the sweetness of this season and the sweetness of His presence in our lives really fills us up and nourishes us and makes us whole. We talked about decorations and what it means to light lights and to decorate our homes and to prepare our homes and to prepare our hearts. We're making room for the presence of Christ in our lives and the importance of that. We talked about the importance of music and what music means to us, and how Christmas is really the only season in our year that comes with its own soundtrack, and how the songs of Christmas and the lyrics of the Christmas songs that we sing really speak deep theological truths in our lives about what Christmas means and about what the season means and about what the incarnation of Christ means for our lives. And music really helps to help us to express that praise to God and express our faith in ways that are really, really important. Well, today we're going to talk about one of the other serious and significant aspects of the Christmas season, and that's presents, right? The gifts that we experience at Christmas. Let's pray together. Gracious God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. I pray your strength with the messenger this morning, that these words be your words, that your good news be proclaimed. Amen. All right, there's supposed to be some audio with that, so we're going to wait and see if we can pull that up. You may have seen this on Facebook not too long ago. An airline company decided they were going to have a little Christmas fun in one of their terminals, and they set up this interactive display with a Santa Claus, and people were invited to scan their boarding pass, and through the miracle of technology, the Santa knew exactly who that person was as they scanned their boarding pass. And then Santa interacted with that person through video, asked the person what they wanted for Christmas. And they could, you know, sky was the limit. They could ask for anything they wanted, and Santa would talk to them for a little bit. And so one after another, these passengers came up and scanned and talked to Santa Claus. And one family came up and said, gosh, it'd be really great if we could have a big screen TV. And Santa said, ho, ho, and that sounds really great. And one guy came up and said, well, I really just need socks and underwear. And Santa said, trust me, you're going to want to ask for more than that. But, you know. So what happened was, while this was going on, employees of the airline were frantically writing down all of these Christmas list requests. And then when the plane got in the air, the employees at the arrival destination jumped in their cars, went to the stores, and bought everything on the list. And then they took them back to the airport, wrapped them up, put the names of their passengers on the gifts. And then as the people got off the plane and got to baggage claim, the little snowflakes started falling from the sky, from the ceiling, and the presents started coming down the baggage claim ramp. And you would have thought it was Christmas morning. I mean, people were seeing their names on these gifts, and they were opening up these presents, and they were the things they were asking for. The dude that asked for socks and underwear got socks and underwear. And the kid that asked for an iPad got an iPad. And all these great, great Christmas gifts, and the family that asked for the big screen TV got the big screen TV. And it was just this incredible experience of people seeing the joy. And then Santa Claus, of course, made his appearance, and everybody cheered, and everybody was really happy. And I thought about, you know, how fun it is to get gifts, how fun it is to receive gifts and to give gifts and to experience that joy. Oprah Winfrey used to do this years ago when she had her television show. Every year she'd have a segment where she'd talk about my favorite things. And so she would talk about the things that were coming up that year, the hot things that were going to be in the stores that year. And she'd talk about the things that she liked. And then she would give them away as presents. And so people got iPads and iPhones and sweaters and tropical islands and all the things that Oprah would just give away. And I thought, well, you know, we've had a fun year here at Stonebridge. Why don't we do that here? Why don't we, everybody look under your seat. Just kidding. It would have been fun, though, you know, to have little prizes under your seat, little presents, because gifts are fun. Gifts are a big part of the Christmas season. We share them, and we give them in so many different ways. Now, of course, the tradition of giving gifts at Christmas has a lot of different history to it. We, of course, know the stories of St. Nicholas and the ways that he was involved in sharing gifts and presents with children of the world. We can actually trace gifts all the way back to Jesus and the story of the wise men who came to the place where Jesus was born, and they presented gifts. We read that in Matthew chapter 2. Verse 11, on coming to the house, they saw the child and with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. Now, these seem like strange gifts maybe to give to a baby, but the wise men weren't just giving gifts to be practical. They were giving gifts to symbolize who this child really was. The gift of gold was because Jesus was the king. He was the King of Kings. The gift of incense was because of Jesus' priestly functions and the way that he would represent God to the people. And the gift of myrrh, which was sort of a spice that they placed on bodies that had passed away, this was a representation of the sacrifice that Jesus would make, that he was born to be a sacrifice, that he was born to sacrifice himself for the sins of the world. And so these gifts that the wise men offered weren't necessarily very practical, but they were very symbolic, and they explained that they understood who Jesus was, which is really remarkable in that these men came from a long distance. They were not Jewish. They were not part of the Hebrew race. They were coming from a long way away. They were Gentiles. They were outside of the faith, and yet God called them to the place where God had come into the world, and they recognized what God was doing in that moment, and they offered their gifts to the newborn king. Now, I've received some strange gifts in my life. Maybe you have too. Maybe you can think of opening up a present one day and seeing something that you had no idea what to do with. We had this little, I was going to bring it, but I forgot to bring it. This little, I think it's a vase. I think we finally narrowed it down that it's a vase to put flowers and things in. But it was this heart-shaped looking thing with these little things sticking up out of the end of it. It was the oddest looking thing we'd ever seen, but I couldn't bring myself to just throw it out because it was just so interesting and so strange. But I had no idea, you know, why that person thought that it would be something that I would particularly like. I think I just, you know, but was the recipient of an odd gift, and it was fun. But gifts sometimes can challenge us, can't they? Gifts sometimes can be a really big challenge in our lives. Sometimes gifts are a challenge because they're just thoughtless. You know, that gift that you just, the last second, you ran into the convenience store and you picked up something that you saw on a shelf because you got to have something and you just want to give it, and you didn't really put a lot of thought into it. You didn't really put any effort into it. You just picked something up and gave it. And it really didn't have any meaning. It didn't have any significance. Sort of like the Seinfeld, you know, series when George Costanza would just pass out cards just saying that he had given a gift to the Human Fund, which didn't really exist. And he just did it to try to get away with not giving, you know, not doing anything really, really thoughtful. Sometimes gifts are just thoughtless. And usually we can tell when somebody's put no thought into a gift. And we receive it and we say, oh, yeah, thanks. And that just kind of is the end of that. Sometimes gifts are conditional. We give the gift, but we give it with some strings attached. Or we give it at least with the expectation that there will be strings attached. And so we give the gift and we think, well, I'm going to give this person a gift so that they'll give me a gift. Or I'm going to give this gift away because I know that if I do, I'm going to reap some benefit from it. I'm going to get something back. And so I'm going to give this gift, but there's conditions to it. And I want to make sure that I'm doing this, but I'm not really doing it from the bottom of my heart. I'm doing it with an ulterior motive. Sometimes gifts come with that. They have those conditions attached to them. Sometimes we give gifts that are just completely useless. They have no real use at all, but we give these gifts or we receive these gifts that just have you just don't know what to do with them. Well, you do know what to do with them. You re-gift them, right? You wrap them back up and you give them to someone else and you say, Merry Christmas. I don't know what to do with this, and you may not either, but I just want it out of my house. I once re-gifted a gift to the person who had given it to me the first time. That didn't go over so well. That was, oh, yeah, Merry Christmas. We just started exchanging it between each other. You know what? I'm not going to give you a gift. You're not going to give me one. So let's just give each other this and see who has to hang on to it the longest. You know, that's kind of fun, too. Gifts can be a challenge for us. One of the reasons why, you know, gifts can be so frustrating, though, is that we're not always real honest. We're not always real open about the things that we would like as a gift. Or the thing, you know, we don't communicate with each other very clearly about the things that we would like, the things that we would like to have, and the things that we would like to give. And, you know, the Bible has something to say about giving gifts and how we receive gifts. And we just heard it read a minute ago. I'm going to read it again. Ask and it will be given to you. These are Jesus' words to his disciples and to us. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. And then Jesus had a great, great sense of humor. And sometimes we don't capture it as well because, you know, we're just reading words on a page and we don't really get all the insight. But here, Jesus, you know, you can just picture Jesus sort of with a little twinkle in his eye and a little smirk on his face as he says this to his disciples. Which of you, if his son asked for bread, would give him a stone? And the disciples would have thought that was hilarious. They would have cracked up and they would have laughed and they would have all understood what Jesus meant. Or if he asked for a fish, would give him a snake. If you then who are evil, if we who are human, if we who are not as in tune always with God's thoughts, if we who are evil know how to give good gifts to our children, which we do, we know how to give good gifts to our children, then how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? We know how to give good gifts to our kids. Well, think of God in the same way. And think of God as able to do it way better than any of us ever could. You know, there's something we can learn there. How often do we reach a point in our lives where we truly have a need, where we truly do have a desire, and we forget to ask for it? We forget to implore God. We forget to ask God for the thing that we need. We forget to express the deep desires of our hearts and ask for the gift that we would receive from God. Sometimes we put that barrier between ourselves and God, and we forget to just ask and to trust that God will hear us, that God will supply all that we need, and God will supply the desires that we have. And so, as I think about the way that God gives, and I think about the goodness of God and the way that God loves us and how God wants to give to us so that we can then give to others in the same way. Think about the great, great joy in that. Because, friends, good gifts really do make a difference, don't they? Good gifts make a difference. The reason that they make a difference is, one, good gifts are fun to give. Have you ever come up with a gift that you knew would be the perfect gift? And you were so excited to give it. You wrapped it up and you put it away and you couldn't wait for Christmas or for the person's birthday or for the occasion on which you could give that gift. You couldn't wait to give it because you had put so much thought into it and you knew they were going to love it so much, and you were more excited about seeing their reaction to how they experienced the gift than maybe they would be and experience the gift themselves. Because good gifts are fun to give when you put that thought into it and you put that effort into it. It really becomes a great source of joy. King David knew something about this. In 1 Chronicles, we're reminded of an experience that David said. He said, "I know, my God, that you test the heart and you are pleased with integrity. And all these things I have given willingly with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willing your people who are here have given to you." As the people were bringing their gifts to the temple, they were filled with joy as they got to participate in that great work. He said, "Lord God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep these desires and thoughts in the hearts of your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to you." Good gifts are fun to give because when we give them, they come from the deep places in our soul, that place where joy really resides. And when we offer those gifts to others, it's a way of expressing our relationship with them and our connection with them. When we offer those gifts to God, it's the same thing. When we offer those gifts to God from the deep places within us, we come to God with that joyfulness and that desire to be in relationship with God. Because good gifts also demonstrate a relationship. When we give good gifts, it's usually because we know someone well enough that we know what they would like, we know what they would enjoy, we know how to connect with them. And so those relationships are demonstrated sometimes by the kinds of gifts that we give. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13, a very familiar passage, but when he talks about gifts of the Spirit and gifts of love, and if he said, if I just give to you, then, you know, it means nothing. If I give all that I possess to the poor and give my body that I may boast but have not love, I gain nothing. If we give just out of a sense of obligation, it's not as exciting as when we give out of that place of love. So we give with joy and we give with love. We offer ourselves to those that we give to. In the same ways that we do that for each other, we do that with God, and we experience that from God as well. And finally, friends, good gifts are not dependent on what they cost. You know, you can spend a ton of money or you can spend nothing and do something creative. If you give a good gift, the cost is irrelevant. When it comes from your heart, you can offer a gift that is very, very inexpensive. If it comes from your heart, if it comes from that place of relationship, if it comes from that connection that you have with them, if it brings joy and demonstrates love, it doesn't matter how much you spend. You know, we did something over the last several weeks here at Stonebridge where we had families who adopted children and from our elementary schools here in town and were provided gifts for them, and so we asked them to go out and purchase gifts, and everybody who participated, and that was over 300 kids who got Christmas presents this year because of all of you. It was really, really miraculous to see out in the foyer behind Celebration Hall this piles and piles and piles of presents. And some of them were expensive presents, and some of these kids asked for, I think the kid that Jennifer and I picked asked for some clothes and a soccer ball. Now, those are pretty easy gifts to buy, but you know, think of just the joy he would experience just in having some new clothes and a new soccer ball to kick around, and what that would bring to him, and how he would experience that. You know, it wasn't very expensive. It didn't cost us a whole lot to do that, but it was going to bring him so much joy and so much happiness in his life to do that. We're getting something. We don't know. We don't know. We'll figure it out. As we think about the meaning that the gifts give, we think about the way that we would come to God. In Exodus 31, Moses had to say to his people who were contributing to the work that and God assured Moses that as people were contributing that work, that God would fill them with the Spirit of God, with wisdom and understanding, with knowledge and all kinds of skills, because there were all kinds of things that we can offer to each other as gifts and ways that we can contribute to each other. My kids ask me every year, "What do you want for Christmas, Dad?" And I always tell them the same thing. I want world peace. And they roll their eyes and they laugh at me and they say, "Well, Dad, we can't give you world peace." I said, "No, you can't. That world peace is out of your power. But you know what's in your power? Is peace in my house. And if you can get along with each other and keep our home a peaceful place, then I think over time that might translate to a more peaceful world. And even if it doesn't, it contributes to a peaceful house, and that'll make me happy." So, it doesn't have to be something that they buy. They'd really rather buy me something. That would be much easier for them if they could do that. But I think about God who gives to us. And I think about a God who encourages us to give to others. But also think about, how do we then give to God? How do we offer God something that... How do we get a gift to God who created the universe? How do we express love to God who is love? How do we get into God's presence? What present do we give to bring ourselves into God's presence? The one who offered all that he had, the one who offered his only son for our sake. What gift do we give to God? And there's that great line in that song that we sang just a minute ago from the song "In the Bleak Midwinter." What can I give him, poor that I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? Give him my heart. You know, the greatest gift that you can offer this year is to offer God your heart, to recommit your life, mind, spirit, body, heart, all to God, and to say, "God, everything that I am comes from you. Everything that I have comes from you. And I willingly and humbly offer all of this back to you for your sake. Use me as you will. Employ me to whatever service you need me to do. I offer myself freely and wholly to you." What kind of joy would that fill us with? What kind of peace would that give us? What kind of love could we offer to the world if we truly approach this season with the intent of offering ourselves wholly and completely to God? And I think there are some basic expressions of how we do that. I think God has some favorite things that God wants to see in our world. And I think those favorite things are expressed in the four areas of our focus through the Advent wreaths. That God wants our faithfulness. God wants our hopefulness. God wants our love. God wants peace. God wants to see that light in the world. And it wants us to share that light with others. I think the ways that we speak to each other, the ways that we treat each other, the ways that we approach one another, even when things don't go our way, are ways that we give back to God. You know, when we get kind of stressed out this time of year, we sometimes lash out at those around us, and it's easy to lash out at those who care about us. You lash out at those who care about you because you think, well, they care about me enough that they're going to be okay if I, you know, am angry or fussy with them. And that may be true, but I don't know that it's godly. Sometimes things happen. Sometimes we get caught up in our own selves and we forget to recognize the needs of those around us. Sometimes we get caught up in distractions that happen in our world. People who get fired from TV shows from saying something, or TV shows that fire people for saying things. And we get really, really passionate about these debates that we create. And it creates opportunities to divide us as Christians rather than bring us together in conversations over issues by which we may disagree. Is that a gift to God by rebelling from each other? Is it a gift to God to divide ourselves? Or is it a gift to God to come together in conversation? Is God pleased more with the positions that we take or by the opportunities that we seek out common ground and common place as followers of Jesus? That's just one example that just came into my mind recently. I think God deeply desires a relationship with us. And I think God deeply desires us to be in relationship with each other as God's children. And sometimes we don't get along. And sometimes the world is not peaceful. And sometimes our prayers go unanswered, or at least answered in ways that we don't like the answer. But God is still present. The child of Bethlehem in that manger is still present in that place. And because he is the greatest gift the world has ever known, and the great gift that God gives to us is to invite us into his presence, to call us to that place. He put a star in the sky and said, all of you can come and see. And the shepherds who were poor were called first. And the angels proclaimed the good news. And the wise men who were outside of the faith came. What will we give? What will we do? We who are part of God's family, will we gather in that place, at his feet, in that messy, smelly place that was not fit for a king, and yet God came into the world so that we might know him and we might be in covenant relationship with him and also to each other? The great gift that we can offer is to offer ourselves to God and ourselves to one another in the spirit of Christ's love who came into the world. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we do give you thanks for the many gifts that you provide for us, and the opportunities you have given to us to offer gifts to you and to each other. We pray that the gifts that we offer this year would be a blessing. But we also pray that you would make us mindful of the greatest gift of all, and that is the gift of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who came into the world and gave himself for our sake, that we might be restored to relationship with you, all of us. We give you thanks for that great gift. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us for our celebration services, an uplifting mix of contemporary and traditional worship styles, as we open our hearts to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Sunday mornings at 8:15, 9:30, or 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.